Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. That song seems so appropriate in view of what has been going on in our world. I'm so thankful that because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. And on the program today, I'm going to be sharing a message that I preached on September the 11th in Marksville, Louisiana, as we remembered 9/11, and then as we were saddened by the assassination of Mr. Charlie Kirk on September the 10th. And so the message talks about a world in crisis needs a church in revival. And I hope that will be a blessing, a challenge to you as I shared that in a revival service just about a month ago. So I pray that you would remember me as you pray. I'm in revival services in the month of October, October 5 to 8, New Boston, Ohio, at Cedar Street Church of Christ and Christian Union. And then October 19 to 22, Chester, West Virginia, in the Church of the Nazarene. Then October 26 to 29, I'll be in Hurricane, West Virginia at the First Church of the Nazarene. So we do covet your prayers as I'm involved in these revival meetings. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience. Thank you for the reality of the song that has been so popular for so many years. And we sing it with new meaning today, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We do not know what tomorrow will hold. We don't know how close we are to your coming. But I pray, Father, that the message and the program today would be an encouragement and a challenge to those listening. I pray that you continue to raise up supporters for the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. You know the need. Bless those who are sick and shut in. Be with those who have special needs today. I ask it all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We need for you to help us, as we are a listener-supported radio ministry. And it's hard to believe that we have been doing this now for 88 years. 88 years of broadcasting the gospel through the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Always been listener-supported, so we need your help. Would you take just a few minutes to write us a letter? Let us know you listen to the program. And I would like to encourage our friends who listen to us on WSAT in Salisbury. We need to hear from you if we're to stay on your station after the first of the year. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give there through Venmo or PayPal.
Pressing toward the prize, longing for the day I look into my Savior's eyes. Then he'll look at me and say, "Well done. Welcome home, my faithful child." And as I stand before his throne, the trials I have known, they will all be worthwhile.
I shall stand.
We're gonna make it. I go to the New Testament and I find the story of Jesus. He went to his hometown. And when he arrived in Nazareth, he took the book of Isaiah and he lifted this passage out of the Old Testament prophecy when he said this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor." Again, we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, beginning with verse 1. Isaiah is writing, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes waters to boil. Come down and make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait on Him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look upon us, we pray. For we are all your people." In the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 19, we're reminded that we are to turn to God. Where it says in that passage, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that we may send the Christ who has been appointed to you, even Jesus." While this prayer that we read from the book of Isaiah was for the people of Israel, I believe that it's very relevant to those of us in this place here tonight. Oh, that you might rend the heavens. Oh, that you might come down, that you might visit us afresh in these days. And as we reflect on what happened 24 years ago, 9/11, 2001, and as we reflect on the senseless assassination of Charlie Kirk yesterday, I don't think there is any question that we live in a world that's in crisis. And I submit to this congregation tonight that a world in crisis needs a church in revival. We need to know what it is to see the Spirit of God fall upon the people of God. Because you see, we see this crisis in various levels in our lives and in our culture. There is a personal security crisis. I can remember, and many of you can as well, when we didn't have to lock our doors. We didn't have to worry about being accosted by somebody. But now, even my wife and I, we have a security system around our house, and we have lights that will come on automatically should somebody come up on our porch that we don't know and we can see who it might be. There is a personal security crisis in our own country today, as we noted yesterday when a young man was shot from a distance by an assassin lying in wait on the top of a building. We don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. We don't know when it might happen to one of us. There's a personal security crisis in our own country. And then there is a moral crisis in our country that is appalling. It's unbelievable what we've allowed to take place in media, on the television, on the movie screen, and we don't even wink at it anymore. We become so conditioned by it that it really doesn't bother us anymore. And we even sit and expose our minds and our eyes to things that fly in the face of a holy God. Even though we've seen some improvement in our leadership here in America since the 1st of January of this year, again, I think you would agree with me that we've seen a political crisis in our country over the last 30 years that's had an adverse effect upon us, more so than any national or international power could bring against the United States of America. But I think the greatest of all crises in our world today is a spiritual crisis. A spiritual crisis that has created a paralysis that has infected the church of Jesus Christ. It's infected the lives of good people like yourselves. It just seems like we are so used to coming to church and we don't allow God to move anymore. We don't come, and I'm not here to accuse you. I'm just simply saying, observing what I've seen in the work of evangelism, it seems that there is no real expectation of what God wants to do in our lives in these days. We don't come with an anticipation that God just might come. Wouldn't it be wonderful to drive up on the church parking lot and walk into the building and just ask ourselves the question, well, I wonder how God is going to come today. I wonder what God is going to do among us today. Hear the words of a concerned pastor. Dear church in America, we wanted to change the world, but we missed it badly. We won't do it by wrapping ourselves in a flag as our badge of honor. We won't do it by incessantly criticizing the media and complaining about their coverage. We won't do it by arguing with, shouting at, demeaning, mocking, and unfriending those with whom we disagree. We won't do it by gorging ourselves on cable news, blogs, and other websites with which we agree. We won't do it by spreading rumors, conspiracies, falsehoods because we want them to be true, or by assuming that since they support ideology, they have to be true. We won't do it by casting a ballot, wearing apparel, or sharing posts. In short, we will not do it through a man-made mechanism, a political party, social media, or our support of any man or man-made idea. A large segment of the church has been trying it that way for years, but look around. It isn't working. Hosea, in chapter 8, verse 7, he said, we've sown to the wind, and now we're reaping a whirlwind. If we're going to change the world, if things are going to be different, and I recognize what the Bible says. I noted it earlier. Paul told Timothy, he said, know this, Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come. And then he gives us that litany of things that are going to go wrong in the world. But if we're going to see that Joel prophecy fulfilled in the last days, I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh. If we're going to see that, it must start here. It will not start in the world because the world knows nothing about the Spirit of God. It must start among us. Do you realize I was reading something today, and the article that I was reading by Eric Metaxas, he wrote a book called A Letter to the Church in America. And he said, we are called the children of God. Do you understand what that means? We are called the children of God. And if we are the children of God, we are to live lives that are representative of that relationship with God. So it's our responsibility as the children of God. And the proposition of this message tonight is very simple. A world in crisis needs a church in revival. And that revival must be, first of all, a revival of righteousness. A revival of righteousness. Have you noticed how we have let our guard down in our communities? Have you noticed how we have now begun to accept sin in the lives of Christians? And it doesn't seem to bother us? Have you noticed that there are so many of us who believe that we sin every day in word, thought, and deed, and really think nothing about it? One old-fashioned author, he made this statement, and it just shocked me to my core when he said, why would an almighty God saves someone. And that someone that he saves, because of the grace of God, continues to believe that they can sin every day and then even brag about it and let them go to heaven. While at the same time, people who don't profess grace do the same things and they're sent to hell. It makes no sense. There's no rhyme or reason to that. There must be a revival of righteousness. Understanding what this righteousness is. As a matter of fact, it says that all of us, like here in this passage, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. There's nothing, he seems to be saying, that there is nothing that I can do to pull myself up by my own spiritual bootstraps. My righteousness comes from an infusion of the grace of God in my heart and my life that changes me from the inside out. Have you ever known anyone that you would describe as righteous? I've met and known quite a few good and godly people in my life. But if I were to narrow that question down to one person, I would have to say that if you wanted to put a picture by the word righteousness in Webster's dictionary, I'd put my mom's picture there. Because she knew what it was to live a righteous life. Do you understand what righteousness is? I mean, how it's defined. Webster defines it like this: acting in accord with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin, morally right. Synonyms of righteousness are all right, decent, ethical, honest, honorable, just, moral, nice, right, good, right-minded, straight, true, upright, virtuous. And my mother... You never met my mom. My mom's in heaven today, but you never met her. But she was a model for righteousness because she sought first the kingdom of God and he added his righteousness into her life. And that can be true for every one of us. In genuine conversion, Jesus not only deals with the sin question, he adds his righteousness. There is a divine exchange when a person is truly born again. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the exchange is made, and now we are righteous, not because of what I do or what you do, but because of what he has done in us. Hosea said in chapter 10, verse 12, he said, "Sow for yourself righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. Break up the fallow or the unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you." I grew up in the country. I'm a country boy. Lived on High Cone Road on the north side of Greensboro, North Carolina. We lived here in this house that my Uncle Hazel had built for my mother and my father. He built Mom and Dad's house. He built his sister, Ruby, and her husband, Barney's house, and it was right here. And then he built his house here, so there were three houses. My mother's maiden name was Crabtree. It was Hazel Crabtree and Ruby Crabtree Johnson and Elizabeth Crabtree Loman. I remember one day I went up to my Uncle Hazel's house, and I looked around. He had a small farm there. He worked in the denim factory in downtown Greensboro, but he liked to farm. And so he had some acreage that he would farm, and he had a barn, and he had some outbuildings where he kept his equipment. And I remember going up to his house that particular day, and I saw him out there in that ground that he would often plant corn or some vegetables. And it might have been an acre, 2 acres in size. And I went out there, and I said, "What are you doing, Uncle Hazel?" He said, "I'm breaking up this ground." You know what fallow ground is? That's ground that has been left alone. That's ground that has been untouched so the nutrients can come back into the soil. You leave it unplanted maybe for a year. As a matter of fact, Israel, they would do that. They would take ground and they wouldn't plant it. After they planted it for 6 years, they'd leave it unplanted so that it restore itself. And then they would come in and they'd break up that fallow ground so it would be ready to receive the seed and bring forth a harvest. And that's what Hosea is saying. He's saying, I want you to break up the fallow ground, ground that has been setting for a while. Ground that is not producing and hadn't been producing for a while. Let's break up that fallow ground and let's allow God to do a fresh work in our hearts and our lives. Let's allow Him to bring righteousness into our lives and in true revival. We must be willing to examine our own righteousness.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.